welcome to another episode of
Four Women in a Hotel Room.
Hi, I'm Heidi McDonald. I'm the editor-in-chief of The Beat at ComicsBeat.com.
Hey, I'm Bridget Alverson. I'm a contributing editor at ICV2, columnist for School Library Journal, editor of the Good Comics for Kids blog at SLJ, and a freelance writer for Publishers Weekly.
Hey, I am Sienna Fallon, COO and managing partner of Ultimate Comics, a chain of five comic book stores in North Carolina.
And I'm Sereti Gosmala. I am one of the two managers at Phantom Comics in Washington, D.C. in DuPont Circle.
And so we find ourselves this day at Comics Pro 2024 in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It is my first time attending. Bridget, it's your second time attending.
But we're really breaking barriers with this visit.
We are totally going where no reporter's gone before. And Sienna, how many times have you
attended? I was just thinking that while you said it, four or five.
Yeah,
this is my first ever.
All right. Awesome. So we have a variety of viewpoints, and as always here on Four Women in a Hotel Room, we're here to break it down. Well, let's start with our guests. What brings you to Comics Pro?
Well, for Phantom, it's like last year, Dave, the majority owner, he had went on his own. At the time, I was too busy doing stuff for school, so I was like, I can't go with you this year, but hopefully next year. And 2023 was the time where I slowly started traveling as the manager at Phantom. After shutdown, I was managing the store, but I was slowly, going into the role. And then C2E2 was my first ever big event as the manager representing Phantom, and then New York Comic Con was my second, so I was okay, I think I have the preparedness to try to do Comics Pro this time. Especially after I did a retailer panel for Comics Pro at New York Comic Con, which was really cool. So I was okay, I will go. And then Jacob, my co-manager, he had come back to work at Phantom, I'd say in around May, right before Free Comic Book Day, he had come back, so it's okay. Both of us were we should probably go to Comics Pro with Dave this time, not let him go by himself, so that we could, because we're in the store most of the time, so it's we can help give a perspective for our store, and also represent ourselves in a way that shows us as a unit and stuff like that.
Cool. Awesome. How about you?
Gosh, Comics Pro, one of the most important events on my calendar every year. When I first went, I was just a fresh manager of one location, and I came here, and I always had my foot halfway out the door of comics because I studied bio and chemistry at UNC, and I was going to go into research, and comics was just my side gig. And then it was here where I was oh, you can do comics for a living. You can be a retailer, and there's this whole professional organization, and there's so many incredible people that are super talented. So Comics Pro, super important to me, and super important to the store, just networking with other retailers, sharing ideas, talking to the publishers, giving them feedback face-to-face. I mean, we're all buried in emails. There's something so different about having a beer with a publisher and saying, hey, try this, or this is how my store responded to something you're doing. That's just incredibly important for us. And so yeah, I'm here with my manager, Grace. She manages our flagship store, and this is her second year, so it's really cool to come here and kind of show her the ropes and introduce her to people. And, she's so passionate, so it's awesome having her out here and, introducing her to everyone and making sure she gets the most out of it. And I'm running for the board this year.
Excited. Well, I can't vote, but I wish I could, because you have my vote.
The
vote is over. The results.
We'll
wait, you don't know the results until tomorrow.
I do know, but I can't say.
No spoilers. We'll put it in the show notes.
I do tend to post this podcast minutes after we finish it. So
that was why I assumed it'd be quick.
Whatever happens, Sienna, you show the responsibility to be a board member by not revealing.
Yes, exactly.
So we'll see tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see
adhere
tomorrow.
Adhere to the no spoilers rule.
Yeah.
So tell me this, since you've been to a couple of these. How does this compare to, the first one that you went to?
Gosh, the first one, I didn't know anything. I didn't know anyone. I'm always not anymore. It's exciting. My identity has been eroded. I was always the youngest person in the room, mm-hmm. so people were always
that goes away,
very excited to have me here and be excited. So now it's different. Now I know everyone. I'm, returning and seeing friends that I've made, and So yeah, it's definitely different. But I still get that same level of excitement I had the first time where I always get a million ideas here because everyone is just, I mean, it's a high level of retailer if you're in Comics Pro, I feel. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm always stealing ideas from people, which is great.
And there's just a lot of high level people, you know, from the publishers.
In the industry
here.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God.
Absolutely.
And there's even more creators here that I think have been in past years.
This was the biggest one I think in a long time. I mean, there were a couple last year too. Matt Rosenberg always shows up. Mm-hmm. There's a couple people.
I think Kyle Higgins was here last
year. But yeah, I know this year Jeff Johns, Boom brings out a whole brigade.
Well, Boom brought out a whole,
a whole Power Ranger.
Yeah, a whole
Power Ranger,
a rock star too. Right. You know, and a lot
Jeff Johns brought himself.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Well, there you go.
There was commentary about that.
Yeah, well.
But where's Jason Aaron since
he
appears to be writing every book?
Okay. So you guys, are you excited by the number of projects that have been announced for Jason Aaron?
I would say he's a solid writer, right? So it's like, you know, I mean, it's like I'm not always reading Jason Aaron's books, but that's just because I just read funky stuff. Like, I'm not always consistently reading superhero books or whatever. Like, I still want to read his Avengers run, et cetera. Like, there's stuff.
But do you want to read Uncle Scrooge, the
Infinity
Die?
I think it's so funny. No, actually, though, like, that's the thing. I love unhinged stuff like that. Like, that I think is hilarious.
Right.
The fact that in comics you can get something like that, and it's just like, okay, like, if it's good, that's all that matters, really.
I was very excited by that, you know, like, especially where they're licensing so much out to Dynamite. It was exciting for me to see Marvel being willing to put in that work to get that Uncle Scrooge comic out there.
That
and it's
is
a passion
good,
project, and that's exciting.
Yeah. That is a good point.
Well,
they are Disney comics. I know
they're owned by Disney.
They are.
It's not real.
It wasn't like they had to go on a vision quest to get the rights to it.
That's true.
You know?
But I love that they were like, yo, he said that he would do that on a podcast. We should go ahead and make it again.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's really funny.
What? I like Aaron a lot. I mean, I love Scott Butcher's Saga. His Thor stuff was like mind blowing to me when it was coming out. His Action Comics is hitting in the store in a way I wasn't sure it was gonna. People did jump on for Jason.
Yeah.
And I'm just more excited that IDW is going all in. I think it's a perfect timing to put a top tier creator on Turtles. Just something in the air with that nostalgia with Thundercats selling almost 200,000 copies.
And that's going to be Jason Aaron
on Turtles. That's great.
I mean,
timing's good.
We are kind of joking about it a little bit. I mean, a lot of times a writer, I mean, he was exclusive at Marvel for a long time and he left and went to DC. And just a lot of times a writer, you know, embarks and they're like, say yes to a lot of projects. And some of them might be already in the can. So it's not even necessarily like he's sitting down and writing them all tomorrow. But then it just so happens there's an event. I mean, there must have been like 5 Jason Aaron.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
So
and you don't read Jason Aaron all the time. Well, you will be.
I was just going to say, we didn't really talk about Bridget. I want to get our reactions just a little bit. So you came for one day, but you're here for the whole spaghetti this time.
Right. Last time I came for 24 hours, and that was a terrible mistake, especially because I had to leave before the metadata meeting, which to me is like terrifically important because I'm really into this metadata thing. You know, so Comics Pro it's not a convention. It is more of a trade group. And so everybody here is really focused. There are retailers, there are distributors, there are publishers, and then there's a handful of hangers on like us, you know, so.
But just a handful.
Just a handful.
But common goal. All working. I mean, you want the comic industry.
So this is my very first Comics Pro, and this is the first one was held in 2007 in Las Vegas, and everybody loved it. Everybody had a great time. And I think there was talk of inviting me the next year, but it was decided that they didn't want the press to come to the show.
They've never had press.
And that was definitely one of the features of the show that was important to people. You know, Marvel and DC would come and you know,
they wanted to tell their secrets
and, you know, there would be drama because, some people would be live tweeting it to other sites and, so there was drama and it was understood. And so I'm going to be honest. I think it's Jen Haynes who's been the president for 3 or 4 years. Like, God bless. She stepped in right as all hell broke loose. But she has such a vision for expanding the show, and I think they wanted more creators to come this year. And then they invited very select press, including myself. Chris Arendt of Pop Roost was also going to come, but he wasn't able to make it. And then Dave Wittig from Comic Shop News is here. He's an exhibitor, as is ICV2. Mm-hmm. And I do just what you're all saying, though. I knew that everybody loves this show because it's so positive and so pragmatic. There was a lot of presenters who mentioned, like publishers have been presenting, and they mentioned that they're doing something because it was suggested by a retailer at Comics Pro.
Very important.
Yeah, and so there's just been so many newsworthy things here that really are so picayune and esoteric if you're just a comics reader. Right.
FOC will be after the first issue.
Yes. Oh my God.
An applause line here. Nobody else.
The DC announcement for Wednesday and Monday. FOC.
Right. Thank God. Makes my life easier.
My Sunday mornings are back.
So wait. Tell us why.
Yeah, explain.
Tell
explain
us why that matters.
Okay. Like for me, I will admit there are times that like when I'm doing FOC for DC, I do that stuff.
FOC is final orders, when you finalize your orders.
So like, I'm ordering stuff. There are times where if my Saturday, because I do it early, like, because it's my responsibility and I'm working on Saturdays, sometimes I submit that stuff on Saturdays. I don't wait until Sunday.
But Sunday's the last day.
Yeah, because Sunday's the last day. There are times where Saturday ended up becoming busy. Mm-hmm. Either had a bunch of customers that came and walked in or whatever. So, unfortunately, there are times where I've posted orders on Mondays. Post FOC, granted, we still got all of our stuff, except for like, you know, incentive covers. But it's like, unless, you know, I negotiated with Lunar, I'm like, yo, I did it all the time. I'm like, please, I'm like, listen, I missed it, that's why I'm so sorry. It's literally the day after. So that's why I'm like, ever since I missed it, ever since then, which is like two more times, I was like, I'm not emailing them again, I don't want them mad at me. But it's just like, for me, it's like, please, I'm already doing all of FOC on Monday. Like, it makes my life easier, regardless of the fact that I have to go on multiple websites now. Because our store, like, every time there's a new distributor or whatever, like, we'll just, like, okay, I do my FOC on Penguin Random House, then I do my FOC on Lunar for Image stuff, and then I'm gonna do my FOC on Diamond for, like, Boom Studios or et cetera, and other, like, publishers. So it's, like, the fact that they're, like, we're going back to Mondays, I'm like, thank God, because I already do everything on Mondays.
Be it, so like, it just made sense.
It's like me doing the newsletter at 2 a.m. last night.
Yeah.
It's like
that
one little task that I hate doing at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
But I have to do it or else
it's
done.
It's just duplicating processes. Labor, like the labor that it takes to do these things has just exploded since distribution has fractured.
Right.
And it's just earning back. I mean, that was my pitch on for the board. I was like, this is what I want to get down year one. My whole agenda is already completed because I was like, Universal Wednesday. I'm like, I did it. If I didn't work, I'm done. But yeah, oh my goodness. So all the managers at my store, they do their own FOCs, but I check them all. So I wait to the last possible time to give them the most sell-through data to do their orders. So I do it Sunday because I'm looking at everyone's. I'm doing ratio math and making sure, if I add all of our stores together, we can get an extra 150. So that's what I'm doing. Or, you know, hey, I'm going to spec on this, or I think this is a little too high. You know, changing things. But yeah, I mean, gosh, one, I have to do it on Sunday instead of a Monday.
Right.
But yeah, you have to look at your sub numbers and take time to do FOC twice in 1 week because they're on two separate days. And different release days mean we have to pull books for customers on one day. And then we have people coming in on Tuesday because even though we don't put the books out on Tuesday, they still can pick up their books. We let them pick it up. So we're just duplicating processes. So it's just, just simplifying it. And you were creating confusion in your marketing message because, you know,
your customers are like, oh, why can I only pick up some of my pull list, but not all of my pull list?
Yeah.
Like, well, these are the rules.
Right. I've got creators on a DC book saying, go to your local comic shop on Tuesday when I don't put my books out on Tuesday and the rest of the titles aren't out, so we can't upsell them on that Wednesday book.
Right.
Or I'm telling customers, hey, final order cutoff is Monday. Actually, it's Sunday for this book.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
And I mean, the whole reason they did it, I'm just convinced that there was a big executive at Warner Brothers who wanted to kill DC Comics.
Right.
They just wanted to, like, gut them?
They were like, you know, the gloved hand coming in.
I mean,
and, like, you know, release day. Hand scratches out Wednesday and writes in Tuesday.
This is the DC Comics version of
Too bad he didn't have a YouTube video of that moment.
Let's talk to Hunter about that. Yeah.
And, like, you know, here's the thing. It's like, but DC Comics still sell. Like, so it's just like, yes, it just made our lives harder. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean like the quality fully dropped or anything.
No,
like,
no.
Like, actually, what? Some
it's
of the quality went up.
Cuts.
But I would love to hear from you what I mean, the Wednesday thing is huge, but what some of the other improvements were, but I mean, they seem like, I mean, I know the diamond shipping is a big one, but that's complicated, but you know, things like, was it PRH that was like, oh yes, now you can pay online.
Or
was
huge for retailers.
Like, you couldn't pay online?
Diamond does it too.
You can
attach
a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
But to each order, so like every time there's an order or an invoice, you're getting your card is getting dinged, but you can't, like, there's no ACH.
Right.
Or like, and you couldn't, like, even though I'm on monthly terms, if I wanted to pay online, I had to pay per invoice instead of just settling up.
And
now that's improved.
Right.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, once that launches, yeah.
It's, yeah, so it would be as if you had your credit card bill, and then each charge you had to go and approve.
For accounting.
And then instead you just pay your credit card.
Right.
So that's another example. But my impression is just like all of these are little quality of life improvements.
Right. Yeah.
That taken together, it was a rough year for retail. Sales, you know, we're in a very strange retail market, and some stores are struggling.
I will say, though, it's so interesting because, I was talking to Dave, the owner of Phantom, about this, but almost all the time, we're off-cycle with all other stores. Like, people were like, oh, we were higher up during some times of shutdown, and we're going down. Like, they, like, reported people's numbers are going down. For us, it's the opposite. Our numbers are going up. But that's because of the fact that, like, our store is so community-based. Like, it's all about the fact that, like, you know, our customers come in to talk to us about whatever, and then they end up buying stuff.
Right.
Whereas, so, like, for us, it wasn't really like, oh, certain titles were coming out or certain things were happening, so people were buying books. No, it's because they weren't coming in to come to talk to us for about XYZ book club. But it's like, oh, now that Saga's back, we're doing a book club for every volume of Saga whenever it comes out, and we have people coming in to talk about it. So that, like, then they spend the books, and then they subscribe to trade, et cetera. So for us, we're always on a whole different trajectory than everybody else.
So your sales were up last year.
Yeah, we
and
went
your
up.
Your sales were up last year,
Our
Sienna.
Sales were up, but not in new comics.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Your sales were up in graphic novels.
Just everything else. I mean, I sell Funko Pops and action figures and anime statues.
Yep.
And so this year I did a lot of work. I went to Toy Fair for the first time to figure out what lines would work in the stores. The whole goal of this year was diversifying our product line because new comics I knew were down.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, if new comics are down, if we're going to make money and make more money, then I need to pivot. We don't do games. We don't do TCG or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting to hear. We're upping our TCG. So, like, for the longest time, we've only done Magic the Gathering and only Friday Night Magic or pre-releases. Now we do Commander Nights. Now we do Yu-Gi-Oh! Every other week.
I know.
We have a judge.
I know there's a lot of money in there.
But it's complicated.
You know,
it is complicated.
TGCs are so big.
Yeah.
In Manhattan, on my street, Magic Power opened.
Oh.
Like, in Union Square, like the Flatiron District. This is our, not Union Square, but Madison Square.
Where
Nomad, the most hot, growing, real estate neighborhood. Somehow this Magic Parlor opened, and I walk by and I see people playing, but I mean, I don't know how they pay their rent.
But Magic players spend money. Like, for us, like, we are like other TCGs, they don't always spend as much money. Magic players, though, they will spend the money. Yes, they'll complain about the fact there's too many releases now, but like, they will buy the product. If the product is good and they like playing that game, and like, they're like, oh, this set I have a lot of fun playing, or this set I get really cool cards, they will spend the money, and then they'll buy collector boosters, which are like sometimes $40, $50, $60 a pack. They don't care. If it's cool, they'll buy it, and they spend the money.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you though, I mean, everybody's talking about periodical comics. I mean, we're all pretty sure that manga and graphic novels are going to be fine. Manga's always going to be fine now. So what do you think about periodical comics?
I am I'm always the optimist. I have to be at my age if I'm going in and trying to take over a chain of 5 stores. If I'm betting my life on it, I better be an optimist. First time I felt pessimistic was Q1, Q2 of this year because I didn't have that excitement of my customer base coming in.
Mm.
Everyone was on autopilot, just grabbing their pull, and they weren't adding new. They were just dropping, and I was like, oh, my God. And I was struggling when I was looking over orders. I'm like, what would I be excited about? If I was in the store, what would I be hand-selling? from the Big Two, and I couldn't answer. I didn't feel like I could answer it. So that was when I started getting nervous.
And that was last year.
Last year.
This 2023, yeah. So then Q3, Q4, you know, Skybound has been just the success story. Not just Energon, but Universal Monsters was big for us.
Yeah.
And then we started getting that excitement in the stores, and then, you know, it's just built off that with the Ultimate line with Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
So there's been, and it just seems like publishers maybe not exactly a cohesive plan from the Big Two, but something a little bit closer to what I'm looking for from editorial.
Yeah.
And I was really pleased over the moon by Buckley's little speech.
Really?
Oh, wait, I'm not supposed to you have
no, well, we
down.
Don't know. No. I mean, Bridget and I had different
opinions. Wait, you were there.
Yeah, they allowed us to go.
They didn't throw us out.
They threw them out yesterday when they were on
for that day. For that incredible secrets that they were telling you about.
Oh my god! He said $3.99 both of the line. I was like, I always wanted ready to get up and like
really.
Most of their books will be $3.99.
That was an incredible thing, and just talking about doing kids periodicals, which I think is super important.
Yeah, I saw you talking to him afterward. You're like, Spidey and Amazing Friends.
I've emailed Penguin Random House like 5 times in the past 2 years that there needs to be a periodical single issue of that, because the kids in my store come in calling Spider-Gwen Ghost Spider, and they call Miles whatever weird name he has in that show, which I don't ever remember, but it's not Miles. And that's their Spidey.
Yeah.
And so there needs to be product. And I would love it to be single issues, because right now in my stores, kids go from Dogman to manga.
Yeah.
And it's really hard for us to get them into singles and mainstream American comics.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're skipping it.
What about the Marvel, like the Marvel Scholastic, the Marvel 6x9?
We sell a lot
trades.
Of those. But they're, again, it's very different from like a periodical. I think the best
kids
comic is a Sonic. Yeah. Sonic is what trains kids on comics.
Yeah,
you know, that's
so Ronnie, what do you think of the periodical market?
Well, I mean, for us, like, one of our biggest consistent things is Saga. Like, the fact that we can convince all the people who bought the trades for Saga, we're like, yo, you're cut out with the trades, but you want to, and they're like, I really want to reread Saga. When's the next graphic novel? I'm like, you could read the single issues. And we've convinced enough people, we have like, I've like consistently like 106 people subscribe to Saga, and like, we're like a one store. So like, the fact that we have that is really nice. And I would say, like, you know, sir, some things are successful, like amazing, like Ultimate, not amazing, Ultimate Spider-Man. Like, the fact that, like, for me, it was a gamble to order 102 copies of that number one. And lo and behold, I guess I didn't order enough.
I should have ordered double.
On Ultimate Spider-Man?
Yeah.
I should have ordered 1,000. I was between what I ordered and 1,000 copies. But because Q1 and Q2 was so bad, I've been way conservative on my orders.
Like,
and now we're course correcting.
Right. And it's like, you know, I like, you know, sometimes, like, I ordered again around the same amount for number two. And, like, you know, that's a little bit of, like, a gamble for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's an issue two, right? Like, will people come? But it's like, I believe that they will come and pick up that book. Because I also loved seeing the chatter online that people were like, this is a, if y'all want to convince Marvel that this is the type of Spider-Man that you guys want, you gotta go into your local comic shop and buy this book. And
right.
I was like, the fact that y'all are saying this, like, made me trust in the fact that I should order this much.
Well, and also the spec and FOMO that drove the sales was based off of story.
Right.
And not that there was a new character.
Right.
The excitement and spec was driven about, this is a great story.
The
oh my god,
fantastic.
I need to get it. And so that was really positive for me. It wasn't just, oh, there's a new spider character like there is in every Marvel comic now. It was like, oh, this is a great story. I need to get it.
Yeah.
And that's
why,
same with like Avengers Twilight is like a $10-$15 book on eBay. And that's because people are trying to get that book.
Right.
I mean, listen, serialization is fun.
Exactly.
I mean, it's fun to anticipate something
and
look forward to picking it up.
One of my favorite titles of all time is One Piece. I think One Piece is one of the biggest pieces of media, best pieces of media in the world.
Yeah.
And that's because Oda, to this day, he's going to write something that you're like, I want to know what happens next.
Yes.
There's a new secret, there's a new thing, it's like, or like, these are new character histories. This character has existed for 15 years, and there's something new about them that I want to know. And it's like, that's exciting for me to read every week. I'm always ready to read One Piece every week because I want to know. And like, you have to drive people to want to pay. And manga comes out most of the time weekly, right? And there are titles I've
You're reading, so you're reading like on the Shonen Jump app kind
exactly.
of thing. Yes.
Yeah, and then like, there's also manga that comes
that's
out
scary.
Once a month.
You don't reprint?
I mean, well, I still buy physicals. Like, you know, it's like, I just don't, but like, I
that's
don't
how
have
it
the
works.
Physicals for Sean and Jump here.
No, no, I
because
get you,
they
I get
can't.
You.
They don't, it doesn't succeed here.
So you're reading them as they come out, and then
I
you buy the collected
edition. And then I buy the and then because I buy it, and also I sell it to people, because not everyone wants to read online. Like, they actually do like to pick up and read physicals, so it's like, well, when you know, because this is, I like, low-key, small tangent, sometimes I want to fist fight Viz, because I'm like, please, can you print this out physically so I can sell this book to people? I'm like, I can't sell one of my favorite titles because y'all decide on a digital-only release. That I don't need to worry about with, like, Western comics. It's like, thank God, most of this stuff comes out in periodicals, and it's like, that I think once the story is good, and like, you know, Avengers Twilight, Ultimate Spider-Man, people are excited for these books. And same with Transformers. They're excited for these books. They're coming in every time it comes out once a month.
What do you think of Thundercats? I mean, that sold a lot. It had a lot of variant covers.
We went huge on them.
We were selling some good numbers for that. We're surprising for us because it depends on the Dynamite book whether or not we'll have success.
I'm good buddies with Drew Moss. I think he's great. I have a bunch of commissions in my house.
I love it.
He draw me Susie Sue, and he does. We have same 80s. Postmodern music taste, but new wave music taste. But so he's coming out to the shops in 2 weeks to sign.
Oh, congrats!
So we went big on that because he lives in Virginia. He's just gonna drive down. He's a cool dude, friend. We'll hang out. But it's just something in the air with that nostalgia. We have had people coming in wanting the Energon stuff, but also saying, "And oh, I heard about Thundercats and adding Thundercats."
Yeah.
It's that same customer.
Yeah.
So Dynamite kind of timed Thundercats perfectly.
Absolutely.
And that's why I'm excited for IDW, because they're timing that, you know, reinvigoration of Turtles perfectly if they can
so many turtles.
Thread the needle.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
a lot of
turtles,
but I'm talking about the main
Yeah, man, it's like, you know, the beach after the turtles.
Wait,
spawn,
is Jason Aaron doing? Oh, yeah, Jason Aaron.
Yeah, Jason Aaron's doing the turtles. So, oh, go ahead, Bridget. I want to say that we're running a little short on time because, Bridget, you have a date with Ann M. Martin.
I don't know if we're supposed to tell people that, but yes.
Well,
sure.
Come on.
Okay, I am so psyched because I'm interviewing the author of The Babysitter's Club.
Yeah, in half an hour. So we have a little bit of time.
We have a little bit of time.
But yes, anyway.
Yeah, so that's very exciting. So how do you feel about Oni Press bringing back EC Comics?
One of my store managers is such a huge EC head, and I would collect EC if I had the money for all that golden age stuff. I stick to the cowboy books because they're worthless. I'm excited. I think it ties in a lot with what Oni is doing and their partnership with the CBLDF, and it's really thematically really ties in with the stuff of genderqueer and bringing that back to like the forefront of comic censorship. I think it really makes sense, and I think Hunter has a great vision for the company.
Yeah.
I think it all is going to depend on talent and story, and again, they got some heavy hitters. I'm not sure about I've seen the list of creators, and I'm not sure who's an interior artist and who's a cover artist, so I need to
it's hard to tell sometimes.
Yeah, so but yeah, I think it could be timely. I think people, we do well with the reprints, and it's been a minute since someone's tried. I feel like I know Paper Cuts tried for a minute, and Strange People tried.
I know,
but
it's not always obvious.
Yeah. But so I'm excited. I think it makes sense for what they're doing.
I think as long as they have Malachi Ward and Francesca Francavilla doing stuff,
right,
it'll be great.
You really
can't
go wrong.
And like the people who did the covers, Lee Bermejo and Greg
Smallwood. Oh my God.
Well,
wait
a minute. Okay, I
love
gotta be honest.
Smallwood.
I only heard the name, started hearing Greg Smallwood buzz like maybe a month ago, but I know it's stupid because he's the man now, right?
I think, definitely.
Are people finally giving him respect or something? Like, I mean, he's always done, like, such great work. His Moon Knight, like, is, like, the ideal Moon Knight visual. Like, I feel like when people think of, like, Moon Knight, they think of his artwork.
Mm.
I've loved him forever. It's definitely the profile from the Tom King graphic novel.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely, I mean, he elevated his art style for that book.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I could just stare at it without words. Sorry, Tom King. I mean, your scripts are sparse enough anyway.
Right?
Look at those art.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's part of it.
That was a book where the art really sold it.
Oh,
yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah,
but I mean, but he is somebody who, maybe I am out of the loop, but I would say that all of a sudden it's like he's, you know, like I say Daniel Warren Johnson is like this really incredible artist that sells books. Like his name on the book is selling it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Marvel and DC purposely after the Image defection, you know, 35 years ago, almost 40 years ago, decided that they would never push the artists first again.
Well, really? I mean, but it's funny though, because it's like, you look at Dan Mora, he's the face of DC now. Like,
they're so desperate that they had to go back to comics being a visual medium.
It's like, yeah, cause like legit, like, because like Dan Mora's work is like so distinct, even though it's still superhero. And like, that is a magical formula. It's like, y'all don't mess that up, because that man is truly one of your like best pieces of like talent ever in the past couple of years.
And that's our most successful way of retaining new customers. I'm if like, they yeah, come in for Energon Universe, how do I sell them on something? I gotta get them to pick up something in addition to Transformers, in case Transformers does something they don't like, they don't quit comics. We gotta sell them on the medium. And the best way we can do it is get them in on creators and jump around. So, Daniel Warren Johnson, I can sell you Do a Power Bomb. Yes. I can sell you Extremity. And then we know you like that. And then there's some manga that fits that style that I can sell you on. And so I feel like when our staff trains customers to follow creators, they have a healthier pull list.
Oh, absolutely. Because, like, you know, we tell people about, like, James Tynion in the fort. Like, it's so easy now for me to, like, tell people, like, hey, you want some, like, cool stuff? Especially, like, for us, because, like, you know, we had a Pride t-shirt last year that says The Gay Store on the back. It's very funny. But it's, like, the fact that, like, some people come in, they're like, oh, you know, I kind of want a queer adventure story or whatever. And I'm like, here's Wind. And also, by the way, this writer is an award-winning writer for the Eisners 2 years in a row. And it's like, so the fact that you have a queer creator doing really big, high-profile stuff, that also excites a lot of our, like, customers. And then they're like, oh, I really like, you know, they're like, oh, I liked Department of Truth. I was like, have you read Something is Killing the Children? Have you enjoyed that? Okay. Here's, like, you know, World Tree. That was an easy thing for you to, like, get into because it just started, etc. Right. So it's like, a really fun thing, especially because he's diversified what he does. The fact that he has a YA graphic novel, I suggest to people, that's like fun romance, but also like really cool fantasy, while also moving to like the weird horror stuff.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting because, you know, we do this podcast on, this is our, you know, special edition podcast, but usually everyone is talking about writers. It's like, King did this.
That's how they sell it.
And I think just the fact that people are talking about the artist
is important.
It's important. And it's also what's beginning to reinvigorate the industry.
Well, let me bring in a point that the Joel Elad from Magma Comics talked about and has been referenced a couple times since then, which is that the cover art should be by the interior artist.
Yes, I agree. Oh my god. I was like, listen, speaking of Dan Mora, I love him. However, Mr. Sir, why is that the A cover? Or like Alex Ross, love his art, it's fantastic. But again, why are you the A cover?
I am Terry old school. I am old school, bring back trade dress, bring back the corner box, and I want
words. Corner box.
I want speech bubbles on my comic. Yes. I want Batman threatening you to buy this issue or he's gonna die. Those are my favorite comics.
Buy this comic or I'm gonna shoot this puppy.
I mean, right now, the production of comics doesn't work that way. You don't know what's gonna be in the, when you're commissioning cover art, you don't know what's gonna be on the inside. Or you're reusing art that you have already commissioned for something else that never got unused, and you know. But yes, I, as an optimist, absolutely.
No, for sure, because like there are times where like people will see stuff and they're like, oh, I like the cover art, and then they're inside, they're like disappointed, or they're like, I don't really care for this cover art, but then they flip into the interior, and they're like, wait, I like this a lot, and it's like, well, I'm sorry. Like, if it's not, cause they expect the A cover. Cause we tell people, like, hey, there's variant covers, this is a little bit different, but the interior is different. But they expect that the A cover is going to be the interior artist. But when that's not the case.
Alex Ross drew this comic.
Right.
Yeah. He did this comic.
And it gets confusing for us if you sell out of the A and we only have B's and C's on the rack and, you know, if it's got limited trade dress, people don't even know what book it is on
that
the, on the
like co- a virgin
we,
cover.
Yeah. The virgin covers are so, like, I mean, they're so unhinged because it's like, yes, this looks so nice, but like,
what is it?
Also, personally, I love typography. I love text. Like, I love, you know, the Daredevil logo. It looks cool. So why is it off there? Like, it act like that is still art. Yeah. That's graphic design art, but it's still art. And if you do it well, typography looks so fantastic.
That's right. That's right. It's all a part of it.
Yeah.
So how do variant covers work in general for you guys? Like, are they good or are they bad?
Ha! I've been in so many drunken arguments with the past few people.
Like,
and people saying we need to get rid of variants, and I'm saying, oh, you do not want to get rid of variants right now because they are propping up the industry. I mean, they're a way for places, people like Marvel to corner market share because mm-hmm. you're getting that customer to buy four copies of the same book, and that money that could go to a DC property is going to Marvel. It's a way to corner market share on open order ones. Ratios, it's a way to get us to bump our numbers. And yeah. I mean, it works for me. I've got five stores. I understand it doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah.
I just qualify for the variants. Mm-hmm. So I like them because, hey, I'm getting the 1 in 100 no matter what. There's an extra $50 for me. I understand yeah. that is not the reality for most stores.
Right.
But in reality, for me, I understand people who don't like variants or ratios,
yeah.
but you need to increase circulation before you can remove them because you do not want to remove variants
That's
right
a good
now
point.
Because then the economy of scale no longer works for half these publishers because they don't sell enough comic books to different
people. It is very similar to previous depressions in the comics industry. I mean, literally, I don't know if you guys were even born when the last time that Thundercats was hot, but you know, I keep writing. It's really remarkable to me that there was this sales trough at the beginning of the century,
mm-hmm.
and what led the way was Transformers, Thundercats.
Yeah.
And then came the Ultimate Universe,
yeah.
and then, but what was the other one? There was another, like, Battle, I don't even remember, but it was another toy comic, you know.
Yeah.
And Battle Cats, yeah, that was big, but there was another one that was, I've wiped it out of my mind. But anyway, and now we're seeing kind of the same thing with added Turtles. And, you know, it's okay. I mean, it's all right. It's got people excited.
I mean, as long as the story is good. Like, we're also, at the end of the day, it's like we're reading these books,
yeah.
right?
But let me ask you this. Just the other hot, 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 hot trend in books is romanticy. Is that anything?
That's not really in comics.
Right.
Not in periodicals.
Yeah.
No.
Do you think you could sell romanticy books if there were them?
I mean, there is a incredibly large...
I would try my best. That's the thing.
There's a great demographic. I mean, if you think about book buyers and book trends, it is young women who are spending... they're keeping Barnes & Noble afloat. But their book top trends going 20 deep on these books. I can sell the Lore. I know I sell Lore Olympus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know in the periodical format it would be, you would have to train that customer.
You have to. Like, that's the thing. The problem is that, yes, we could sell that to people, but the publishers need to do the marketing.
That's
like,
the thing.
That was the one thing I forgot that I wanted to talk to, like, somebody at Marvel. Like, I actually really like Avengers Incorporated, but I didn't realize what it was or that it was coming out until it hit my shelves. And then now it's canceled. And I was like, I really like that book. But it's like, and a lot of people, same with my customers, they said the same thing. They were like, oh, I really like this book.
What book was that?
Avengers Incorporated by Al Ewing.
Al Ewing.
And I was like, that was a really fun book. I actually really like that. And then it's like, oh, now it's gone because, like, there wasn't enough marketing for that book. And, like, marketing really does matter. Like, for any industry, if you do the work to tell people, hey, we're doing this, like, people are going to subscribe to it and want it. So, like, if you're going to, like, drop, like, a romanticy-type book, you do have to tell people, hey, we're doing this.
You better get a book talk person pushing
exactly.
your single.
Exactly. Like,
we need
do the work.
Talk.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And then that will help, and then absolutely someone's going to go to your comic book shop to go buy it, like, because they heard about it. It's funny, though, that Lore Olympus sells, because you could read that for free.
I know.
But I love that.
Yeah, but
like,
that's always been.
Well, that's like,
that's
you,
always been.
That's like
yeah.
you buying,
my manga,
buying
yeah.
your
yeah.
manga after you read it
yeah.
for free and shown
yeah.
it. For me, it's...
Well, I pay the $2.
Yes.
But yes.
It's the publisher's job to get people in our stores, and then it's our job to turn them into comic fans.
Yes.
Mm. So right now we do, I don't care if customers are coming in excited for the Energon universe. It's my job to make sure, like I said, let's get them a healthy pull list and let's get them at least one other book they like.
Yeah.
Same thing like the Dynamite Disney books. I'm like, that's a great opportunity. They are doing marketing, trying to drive Disney fans into our stores.
Yeah.
Well, then it's my job to figure out what else I can get them to read so they become a fan of the medium. And that's fine, but yes, I need the publishers to market. We can't just sell to our
it's
existing customer
yeah.
base
mm.
because our customer base is dying. So, right.
I mean, literally, because they're old.
Literally, yes.
I will say, like, because of our location, like, one of my favorite customers is, like, of, like, this, these two pair of girls that go to, like, a university nearby. And, like, both of them don't have pull lists, but they spend a lot of money every day, like, every week buying stuff off the rack. And they have, they're like, oh, I have fun doing it like this. So, like, the fact that it's like, you know, as long as you have some good books coming out, but even then, they just, like, pick up anything. And they're just like, I want to try it out. And it's like, every week, like clockwork, I see them, and the two of them come together, and they buy their stuff. And it's just like, that's great. I love that. And, you know, it's like, that, like, those customers do exist, but it's like, you have to, like, let them know that you're there. That's the other thing, you know? And it's like, that I think is really important. And like I said, like for Ultimate Spider-Man, the buzz really helped because people were like telling each other online, like, hey, right. go to your local shop to buy this book. Do not
and apparently, buy this. I guess it was Dan Buckley who mentioned from Marvel that mentioned that, you know, Ryan Reynolds had tweeted about a Wolverine versus
Berserker. I mean, that brought a ton of new people coming in because of the Keanu Reeves promotion, and they bought Berserker. Last Ronin is a great example of customers coming into my store specifically to find Last Ronin because they saw a YouTuber, they know the video game's coming out. Whatever IDW did to get the messaging out for Last Ronin did drive new people into my store.
It's a hardcover. We sell that.
I still sell a million copies of that book. It does not seem to stop.
Yeah. It's on the charts every month. It's just astonishing.
The thing is that the industry... Are we having some problems? Absolutely.
Of course,
they've been addressed here at Comics Pro.
Yeah.
But I see so many people coming up with some solutions. And And guess what? They keep making books that people want to read. So
So it's like, you know, that happens. It's like, there you go. Like, looking at that Ultimate Universe stuff, the numbers are up. Like, my only complaint is just, like, if an event book is happening, spread it out a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, Gang War was hard to keep up with, because first of all, it came out during holiday time, and there was, like, a bunch of books. So it's like, I really like the Luke Cage comic, but it's like, I have to hand sell everyone on which comic to read, because they were like, oh, I guess I'm picking this up because I'm reading Amazing Spider-Man. And I'm like, please read the Luke Cage comic. I really, really liked it. And they were like, actually, yeah, this is really good. And then they buy it, but it's like, sometimes they missed past FOC because they were, like, trying to keep up with every title. And it's like, how do I... You want me to hand-sell this book so I can order a bunch of copies? You're going to have to give me the breathing room to do this.
Well, again, publishers and us are punishing our current customer base by overloading them to make the numbers work.
You need new people in the store.
Yeah. Otherwise, the only way to make it work is you need those guys buying four copies of the same book with the covers, or you need them to go all in on the events. And my thing is, those events always burn people out. Like, you know, Night Terrors, people come after Night. Oh my god, how many people got burned out after Night Terrors?
Really?
Like 50 minis
and
going on.
What do you think of
DC's
event? That they announced the big event with Dan Mora and Mark Waid, right?
Which, I mean, people trust them as creators. Like, for example, you know, the Marvel title of Kieran Gillen. We actually had a lot of people actually reading that event because they were like, oh, we really like Kieran Gillen's work. And also, like, I mean, we've had people following Kieran Gillen because of Wicked and Divine for the longest time.
Right.
We had, like, book clubs for every volume of that book. You know, people really like Once and Future. So it's like, at least, like, some of that we could sell people on it. We're like, hey, it's Kieran Gillen writing it. You like his stuff. The art is fantastic. Go read this book, and then they will. But it's just like, it depends on the creative team. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're going to do it, but again, they announced the event, but it's like, let's see how they do the release numbers. Like, y'all need to, you know, I truly slow down, and then I can convince people to read, because there's a lot of people, like you said, like, they're just like burned out. They like literally will drop books because they're like, I'm sorry, I have a pile of books, I have not read them.
You need to make sure your customers aren't doing the math at how much they spend on comics.
Exactly.
Like, I always get nervous about that. I'm like, don't put the receipt in there. They can't see that. So that's the problem when you have uneven release weeks, or you punish them with an event. All of a sudden, they realize, I spent $300 on single issues this month. I'm going to quit comic books. Yeah. And so that's the scariest thing to me, is like, if you abuse these customers, they will quit.
Well, I can tell neither of you is going to quit Sarati and Sienna.
No.
You guys are fantastic.
I love comics.
Comics are love.
Yes.
Comics are love.
Comics are life.
Our life. Comics are life.
Absolutely.
And that's the kind of the watchword here for Comics Pro. So, well, Bridget's got to go do her interview, and then there's this the metadata, and you guys got to go to Roundtable. So,
you gotta get that swag.
I know. So, all right, we're going to let you go, but... Until next time, we are
four women in a hotel room.